This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I will not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, my life, my faith gets stronger and stronger. Give the Lord your Sunday morning shout, would you? Praise the Lord. Amen. Y'all sound so good. All right, let's open our Bible to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We're in a series on spiritual warfare. We've been talking about how to fight the good fight of faith. We've been finding out why life is difficult. We've been finding out as a Christian why the persecution, why the opposition, why the difficulty in living the Christian life. We've been finding out, number one, if you're a note taker, who our adversary is. Number two, we've been talking about the armor of God, and I'll finish that today. And number three, we're talking about our authority, and I will finish that Wednesday night in our Wednesday night service. So we're talking about how to get through the most difficult day of your life, and why is life so difficult? And how do you get through the rough seasons of your life? So are you with me? I believe you are, because I kind of got to go fast today. So let's look at it. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be careful or be on guard. Be vigilant. Notice if we do this, then the latter part of the verse won't happen. If we are on guard every day, if we live intentional, if we're on guard, if we're not asleep, if we're not melancholy, if we're not just, you know, just existing, if we're not just passive, but if we will every day be intentional, live life on purpose, then the latter part of this verse won't happen. You will not be a victim, nor can the devil devour you. He only devours those who are not awake, not alert, those who aren't vigilant, they aren't sober, they aren't guarding, they aren't watching, they don't live intentional, you know, he's devouring those kind of people. So notice, you and I, we're going to be on guard. We are in a war. We know it's a spiritual war. Amen, church. So he said, be careful, watch out for attacks from Satan, your great enemy. I don't need a Ouija board. I don't need tarot cards. I don't need someone to give me the future. I know that every one of us in this room are under some kind of an attack. If you're a Christ follower, if you're a Christian, the Bible says everyone who's godly will suffer persecution. So I know all of us are under attack. We know it's based spiritually, but it comes out either emotionally. Today, your warfare might be in the area of your emotions, or relationally, relationships, or physically. So we know from the Bible very clear that we're in a war. We've got to be on guard. We've got to be intentional. We've got to be alert. We've got to be equipped. We've got to be under training. And we know that we're all under attack, so don't think it's strange. We know what the attacks are, and we know who they come from. They come from Satan. Notice his name is not the devil. His name even is no longer Lucifer when he was in heaven and kicked out. Today his name is Satan. Devil is not his name. Devil is his job description. So Satan's job description, how he attacks us, is to devil you. What does that mean, Pastor? The word devil, it means to hurl, to throw at you habitually and continually until he penetrates, until he penetrates. And we all know he never gives up, does he? So he devils us. That's his job description. His name is Satan. How does he attack? He hurls at you. He throws at you habitually, continually, 724, until he penetrates. What is he wanting to penetrate? Your mind. The battle is between your ears. If he can change the way you think, if he can get you to doubt God, give up your faith, stop believing in God and going to church, that's his objective. His attack is on your thought life. Why? Because if he can change the way you think, he'll change the way you feel. If he changes the way you feel, he'll change the way you act. He does not want you to act Christ-like. He wants you to give in your faith. He wants you to give up your trust. He wants you to stop believing in God and your belief system and drop out of church. That's Satan's objective. Notice then that we know now who our enemy is, or our adversary, our enemy. It's not white people. It's not black people. It's not brown people. It's not rich or poor people. It's not educated or non-educated people. People are not our problem. Can I have a witness in the house? Our enemy, our adversary, who's behind every attack, he'll use people, but they're not the source. The source is Satan. And he's using people to devil you, to harass you, to torment you, to test your faith, test your confession, to see if you'll give up your good confession, test your faith to see if you'll stop believing in God, change your belief system, and drop out of church. That's his objective. So we looked at our adversary. Today, I want to show you how to put on the armor of God. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. I want to give you three ways on how every day we put on the armor of God. Now, the armor of God, there are seven pieces. The Apostle Paul likened them to a Roman soldier. They weighed 120 to 130 pounds. So if you and I are going to put on the armor of God, we got to get strong in order to put on the armor of God. Am I helping anybody so far? All right, so let's look at it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The power of his might is the same phrase in the Greek. When Jesus, resurrection, on his way to heaven, the last thing he said to his disciples, go to the upper room in Jerusalem and tarry until you're endued with power on high. The word endued means clothed with power on high. So number one of the three takeaways today, you put on the armor of God daily. It's not a one-time thing, just like I'm so glad you all put on your clothes before you came to church today. Amen. No streakers here today at Church on the Rock. Hallelujah. So just like every day you have to intentionally put on natural clothes, every day you have to put on your spiritual clothes, God's armor, so that you're armed, dangerous, vigilant, sober, on guard, knowing who your adversary is and know how he attacks you. Remember, he devils you. What does he do? He throws, he hurls until habitually, continually, he penetrates your mind, right? What is he throwing at you? What is he throwing at you? Rocks? No. What is he throwing at you? Arrows? No. The Bible calls them fiery darts, but really they're not. What are they? Lies. 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 The Bible calls him a liar and the father of lies, and the truth is not in him. So he's throwing lies at you to get you to test your faith, test your belief system, stop making a good confession, stop trusting in God, stop believing in God, change the way you think, and drop out of church. That's the devil's objective. Am I still helping somebody here today? All right, so notice, number one, you put on the armor of God by being filled, led, and walking in the Holy Spirit every day. Kenneth Hagin said, the greatest and most important thing for a Christian, after you become a Christ follower, the number one thing you want to learn above everything else is how to be led by the Holy Spirit. So notice, the first thing you and I want to do is get strong. but not get strong by going to a CrossFit. All you know that Daniel, my son, is my coach physically. We work out together. We do CrossFit. But he's not talking in the natural realm. He's talking in the spiritual realm. He's saying you got to get strong in the Lord and the power of his might, the Holy Spirit. So every day you got to get strong. You got to get strong, because if you don't get full of the Spirit, if you don't stay filled with the Spirit, if you aren't led by the Spirit, if you don't walk in the Spirit, you won't have the strength to do what I'm about to tell you today and put on the armor of God. In the heat of the battle, you'll waver and you'll wonder. You'll ask God why. You'll get bitter, impatient, and quit and drop out of church. Does that make sense today so far? All right. So number one, you want to get filled with the Spirit. How do I do that, Pastor? You have to surrender to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person, right? He's the third part of the Trinity. He has emotions. He has feelings. So the Holy Spirit, every day, here's how you get filled. Stay filled. Learn how to be led and walk in the Spirit. You get up and you say, Holy Spirit, I yield to you today. I surrender my life. I take my hands off the steering wheel and I let you be in control of my life today. So Holy Spirit, I need you to help me. Doesn't the Bible say when you don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit will help you? He'll help you. Well, he's not going to help us if we don't ask him, invite him, and get to know him, so we'll know how, when, and where he's going to help us. So you have to ask Jesus every day, because Jesus is the one that fills you with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, fill me today with the Holy Spirit. I yield my life. I give my life. I surrender my life. I ask you to give me a new prayer language today. And by the way, as you're a Christian and growing, your prayer language should change. Your prayer language should grow. Just like in the natural, when we were babies, we learned to say, Dad, Dad, Mama. Eventually, that language grew to, can I borrow the car tonight? So just like in the natural, your spiritual prayer language should change, and you should speak many different languages as you grow, mature in Christ. So get filled, stay filled, be led, and walk in the Spirit, because you got to get strong in order to put on these seven pieces. You with me, family? All right. Now let's look at the next verse. If we could, go back to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. Put on. So notice, put on. Notice it's not going to jump on. You got to put on. Notice it's not automatic. Just like today, you had to go to your closet after you showered and took a bath, put some deodorant on, brush your teeth, and floss. By faith, praise the Lord. And then you put on your clothes. Notice they didn't jump on you. Just like going to church, the armor's not going to jump on you. You got to put it on. So you put it on. But notice, you can't put it on. Now follow me, because it'll all make sense in about 10 minutes. You can't put it on till you get strong. Because in the natural, it weighed 120 to 130 pounds. So that speaks that it's heavy. You're going to have to be fit and strong to put it on. The Bible, notice verse 10 comes before verse 11. So many Christians say, well, I'm going to put on the armor of God, but then they're in the heat of the battle, they get beat up and wonder why. I'm going to show you why in the next few minutes. So he says, put on the whole armor of God. So it's spiritual weapons. It's not natural, it's supernatural. It's the armor that comes from God. Put on the armor of God, and you will be able to stand against the wiles, the methods of the devil. Now remember, that's not his name, that's his job description. You'll be able to stand against the methods, the wiles of how he's going to attack you, how he's going to devil you, how he's going to hurl and throw at you habitually and continually in the middle of the night or in the middle of the day. He never gives up. Now let's go to the next verse, verse 12. For we wrestle not against white people, black people, brown people, old people, young people, rich people, poor people. Our battle, we are wrestling against, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Four levels. Would you note with me that it says against? You see that word against repeated in that verse? Notice that all of the kingdom of darkness is against you today. Everything the devil has, all four levels of demonic power are listed here. And they're at his command. And he will use all four levels to come what? Against you today. Pastor, why is it so hard to get up on Sunday or go on Saturday night or come midweek? Why is it so hard to get the kids up? Why is it so hard to get up right away for Six Flags, Pastor? Why is it so hard to get them up to go to church? Pastor, why on Monday morning? Pastor, why? I know I got to get filled with the Spirit, but I want to wake up. Boy, I'm just not alert. I'm not a morning person, Pastor. It's just so hard. Why is it so hard? Because all of hell, Satan, every level of demonic oppression is against your faith today. Against you, coming at you. You are a target. You are a living, walking target. Notice how many times the word against is listed. But I got good news. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, greater is he that is in you than them. It says them. It says them that are in the world. What is the them that are in the world? The four levels of the kingdom of darkness. Satan at his best is not enough to bring you down, to defeat you, to cause you to lose and fall short of your destiny. If you'll keep the greater one on the inside of you and stay full of the Holy Spirit. Can we give the Lord a big thank you for that today? Amen. So let's look at the four levels here. We have, first of all, we have principalities. They are the highest level of the ruling class of demonic forces. They have been around for centuries and centuries in that position, ruling. They're the highest order. Then you have powers. Powers are roaming spirits, roaming demons, fallen angels. They roam, just roam about. They don't have a specific task. They're just looking for a victim. They're just looking for somebody who's not vigilant, not guarding, not intentional. They didn't put on the armor. They're just roaming, looking for somebody that's spiritually streaking that day. The next level is beyond that, principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness of this world. The word world there in the Greek is atmosphere, in the air. Rulers of this world. These are trained, organized, demonic spirits with a specific task. Poverty is a spirit. Sickness is a spirit. Come on, somebody. Strife is a spirit. The rulers in the atmosphere are trained, equipped, and armed, and they don't roam. They have a specific, they know your weak areas, and they will attack your weak areas on purpose. So all of this is against us, but our message is to let the world know, if God is for you, then who can dare? In all of these four levels of the kingdom of darkness, who can dare stop you when you know God is for you? Because when God is for you, you have a majority on your side. Oh, praise the Lord. And then we have spiritual wickedness. That's the fourth level. That's the lowest level in high places. And these are demonic spirits who are very violent. They're very violent. They're very, very violent. Their task is just to steal, kill, and destroy you. Why? Because you're a Christ follower. You're a target. Your faith is in God. Your trust is in God. You're in the kingdom of God. You're planted in a local church. You're attached to the mission. You're leading people to God. You're making a difference with your life. You're letting the world know that God is for them. Satan is irritated, angry, mad, upset about all of that. So what does he do? He sends his best to attack you. But when you have on the armor of God, that every attack will be quenched. Amen? And fall right before you in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. All right, so next verse, verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. If you do, you'll be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand. Notice, an evil day is the worst day of your life, where you've got the worst news you could ever imagine, where you're attacked on every side. Notice, we are to withstand. If you have on the armor, you can withstand the devil. You can withstand his deviling and Satan and all demonic powers. Okay, how do you do that? The word withstand means in the Greek, means to draw a line in the sand, means to look at him and say no and push him back. It's called God-given authority. It's called what you bind will be bound. What you loose will be loosed. Binding and loosing. It's talking about taking your God-given authority and saying, devil, enough is enough. I'm a child of the Most High God. I have an inheritance. I'm a joint heir in Christ, and I have authority over you. I resist you. I draw a line in the sand, push you back, and tell you no. You'll not do that to my family. You'll not do that to my health. You'll not do that to my ministry or my career or my marriage, in Jesus' name. And then he says, after doing all of that, to stand. To stand. That word stand there, many people think it means be passive. Sit on the couch, eat Doritos, and just be passive. It does not mean that in the Greek language. It means see yourself, have a vision of victory. See yourself healed. See yourself free. See yourself out of debt. See yourself in victory at the end of the battle while you're in the battle. It's called calling things that be not as if they already were before they are. It's acting like it's so when it ain't so, so it can become so. You with me, family? To stand there means to envision seeing yourself not down for the count, but seeing yourself standing with your shoulders back, your head up high, a good confession at the end of the battle you're in. Amen. Next verse. All right. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, family, real quick, I'm going to read to you from the scripture the seven pieces. Can we do that? Then I'm going to come back, give you the last 2 points, and then we're out of here. We're going to make a difference with our life. Okay? So here are the seven pieces. Number one, your loins girt about with truth. That's the loin belt of truth. Number two, have on the breastplate of righteousness. How do we put all this stuff on? Well, number one, you got to be strong before you can put on. You got to be spirit-filled every day afresh and anew. Being filled 30 years ago is not going to cut it today. So he says, number one, the belt. Number two, the breastplate, verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and the shoes they wore were killer shoes. Killer shoes. I mean, they were bad to the bone. They had spikes on the bottom of them. They were killer shoes, okay? We don't have time to go into that, but that's the next one. And then verse 16. Above all, take the shield of faith. That's the next one. Whereby you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts. How many? And what are fiery darts? Lies. Oh, you'll never get out of this. Oh, God will never forgive you. Oh, God, you know, he's against you. You've done so many things. Oh, you know, you've made so many wrong choices. Oh, you made so many wrong decisions. You'll never get healed. You'll never get out of debt. You'll never start that business. You'll never find the right mate. What are those? Fiery darts. And they had two kinds of shields. They had one that was round for parades. The other shield was the size of a door that would cover you from head to toe. And that shield was covered with leather. They would soak the shield in water, which is a type of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, before they went into battle. So that when the fiery darts were shot, they'd be quenched when they hit the shield of faith. So it goes on to say, next verse, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. So it is important, our belief system. Helmet covers your head, covers your brain, covers your mind. And the sword of the Spirit, what is that? The Word of God. Next verse, verse 18. This is the seventh piece. Pastor, you said there were only six. Here's the seventh piece. It's prayer. It's the spear. Notice their spear was to take down enemies in a distance. Notice that prayer, when you pray, prayer has no distance. Amen? We can pray for people in Africa, Brazil, Central America, Mexico, Guatemala, Russia, and your prayers will make a difference because your prayers know no distance, so they make a difference. So that's the seventh piece, praying with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit. And notice, you should be watching. You should be expecting things to change. Expecting with perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Notice, we are to pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Now let's go back to verse 14. So there's the seven pieces, but Pastor, how do we put them on? Pastor, I want to know. Okay, hang on. I'm going a little bit over, but I want to give it to you today. Stand therefore. I have a question now. What is the first piece of the armor mentioned? The answer is right there. The belt of truth. The belt. Aren't you glad for the test I give? They're open book. The belt of truth. Now, they taught me this when I was in college to interpret the Bible. It's called the law of first mention. The law of first mention. That which is mentioned first is the most important. It's priority above all the others. So notice, what is the first piece of the armor that's mentioned in the seven? It's the belt of truth. So I submit to you that the most important of the seven pieces is the belt of truth. The belt covers the midsection. Am I right? It covers your center. So the Word of God should be the center of your life. The Word of God should be the center of your parenting, building a business, building a ministry, building a marriage. The Word of God should be at the center, first place of your life. The belt of truth, the why it's the most important, because there was a clip on that belt that held all the other seven pieces. There was a clip to hold the helmet. There was a clip to hold the sword. There was a clip to hold the spear. There was a sheath. On that belt, listen very carefully, held everything together. That belt of truth, what is that, Pastor? The Word of God. The belt of truth is your Bible, the 66 books we call the Bible. So when you and I are reading through our chronological Bible together this year as a church family, you're putting on the armor of God. Number one is to be filled, led, walk in the Spirit daily. Number two is to walk in God's Word daily. Is to read it daily. Is to set aside a time to read it. Now, this is the Logos. This is the Logos. That's the belt of truth. The belt of truth is the Logos. And the belt of truth had a clip for all the other six pieces. So if you didn't have your belt on, then everything else you weren't armed with. So what does that tell me? If I'm not reading my Bible every day systematically with a Bible plan, I'm not putting on the armor of God. If I don't have on the belt, I don't have on the other six pieces. So when I read my Bible systematically with a Bible plan every day in the morning, I'm putting on the belt of truth. I'm in the Logos. So then when I get in a battle, then I can pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, different word, it's rhema. It's rhema. But you can't get a rhema without reading the Logos every day of your life. So you put on the armor of God by first putting on the loin belt, which is the Logos, which is your entire Bible. It's a Bible reading plan. Now you know why the devil doesn't want most Christians, and most Christians don't read their Bible. Because if you're not reading your Bible, you're not armed and dangerous. If you're not reading your Bible, you don't have on the armor of God. If you're not filled with the Spirit, you can't get a rhema from the Bible. Because the Holy Spirit is the teacher and the one who gives you revelation from the Logos reading the Bible. Many of you can relate to this. Have you ever read your Bible as the team comes out? In the morning, have you ever read your Bible? And then throughout the day, the verse you read in the morning, someone needed at work, at school, at play, at shopping. What was that? You had on the armor that day. You were in the Logos, the whole Bible, reading it, so that when you needed it in a situation, you were able to pull out a rhema and it ministered effectively in that set of circumstances. You had on the armor of God. Let me give you a picture. Now, I know I'm going over just a couple of minutes. Is that okay? Because I love you. If I love you, I'll feed you, okay? So let me give you a picture. Jesus is our role model and mentor. Look at him when he was in spiritual warfare, in a battle. In Matthew chapter 4, what is he? He's in the wilderness, tempted for 40 days. Am I right? The Bible says he was full of the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Holy Spirit and full of the Holy Spirit, right? He just came out of the River Jordan, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Then he was led by the Holy Spirit. So he was strong and endued with the Holy Spirit, okay? Then what happened? He's in a warfare, and the devil, or Satan, deviled him, and he knew his weak areas. He knew he was hungry. He knew this and that and the other. So the devil came to him to cause him to doubt, to stop having faith, trusting, believing in God. What did Jesus do? Pulled a personal, specific scripture from the Old Testament, put it in his mouth, and spoke it to the devil. What was that? Rhema. He would never have had a rhema. He would have never had the armor if he hadn't learned the word growing up as a Jewish young man. Are you with me, family? So there you see. So that's why the devil wants you to run out of the house, never read your word, don't be with your pastor, reading the word every day, because the most important of the seven pieces is the belt of truth, the Bible, the Logos. That's where you start putting on the armor. Then throughout the day, the devil comes to you and tells you you're a nobody, you're a misfit, you're down and dirty, you won't amount to anything, you're a mistake, you're junk, you're this, that, and the other. What's going to rise up on the inside of you is the breastplate of righteousness, and you're going to say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Scripture comes up. Scripture comes up. He comes with those lies in your head, but you've been renewing your mind in the Word of God. And you say, no, 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 devil. God is for me. I'm not going to change my confession no matter how long it takes. You put on the armor of God by putting on the belt of truth first. But you won't get anything out of the Logos if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, who gives you revelation, a rhema, throughout the day. Woo, am I helping anybody? All right, so number three, real quick, number three, and that is meditate in God's word every day. Boy, there's an anointing here today. So number three is I got to stay mentally strong, mental toughness. You all remember, where does he attack you? In your head. So you got to stay mentally strong. If you and I are going to put on the armor of God and we're going to win the battle, you got to be full of the Holy Spirit, led, walk in the Spirit. Number two, you got to walk in the Word every day. The Logos, read your Bible, have a Bible plan, be systematic, be intentional. Understand that's how you put the armor on. Because then throughout the day, the Holy Spirit will quicken you to what you've read. If you haven't read anything, he can't quicken anything. If you haven't read anything as a Christian, he can't quicken anything, and you're spiritually naked and you're devoured. On your way to heaven, but beat up. Okay? So that's so important. So the third thing is, if he attacks my mind, then I got to have a tough mental attitude. How do you do that? Joshua 1, 6 through 8, you have to meditate in the Word of God. Everyone say meditate. It's not enough to read it. Now I'm taking you farther. It's not enough to read it. You got to meditate on what you're reading. Okay? So how do you meditate? Look on the screen. Josh did this for us. Look on the screen at the very bottom. A, B, C, D, E. The first one there is verbalize. How do you meditate God's word? You got to put it in your mouth. The word's got to be in your mouth. You got to have a good confession to have a good fight. You got to verbalize. You got to begin to say what you're reading. Then the next one is you have to visualize. B, can we have it up there real quick, please? Visualize. You have to visualize. This last week, Summer Blast, part of our dream team, I looked out there in the parking lot. I think it was Wednesday morning. And there, one of our dream teamers had their car on the parking lot. It was a 1932 Ford street rod. It's beautiful. It was red with saddle tan interior. And they came up to me. I said, man, is that your car? Yeah, Pastor, that's our car. That's our street rod. 1932 high boy Ford, red, beautiful saddle tan. Pastor, you want to drive? I wanted to drive it today. They handed me the keys. They dangled it in front of me. But I actually had things I had to do. I was a part of Summer Blast. So I said, I'd love to, but I can't today because I got to work here at Summer Blast. I got things I have to do. And they said, you know what, Pastor? Here's what they said to me. I saw myself driving this years ago. I saw myself, notice the principle, I saw myself driving it before I ever purchased it. I saw myself in it before I ever had it. The law of visualization. So he says, then you visualize it and then you have to memorize it, because if you're not in the belt of truth, you can't put on the other six pieces, because the Holy Spirit will only bring to your remembrance what you remember. So you have to memorize it. And then last, you have to personalize it. Personalize it. Now here's what I know. The Bible never has power until you make it yours. The Bible never has power until you put your name in it. You know, it means more to me to say, I, Dave Blunt, can do all things through Christ, rather than to say, you can do all things through Christ. It's more powerful when you personalize it. Steve, I remember when you and Star came here when Moses crossed the Red Sea. 30 years ago or more, and I can remember hearing Steve. His office was like a little furnace, hot water heater room in our little building we had. And Steve's office was on the back side of mine. And I can remember hearing Steve speak scriptures out loud way back then. It's important that you personalize it, because if you don't, it'll never become powerful and impact your life. Did y'all get something today? Woo! Give the Lord a good praise if you did. Amen.